Well, happy Easter, everybody. Amen. It's great to see all of you here today. If I haven't had a chance to meet you, my name is Joe, and I get to be the lead pastor here at New Life, and I just want to welcome you. If this is your first time with us here today, man, special welcome. I hope you'll come back and do this again. Hey, just real quick before we get into the word today, I want to let you know that in front of you, you're going to see a little QR code on the back of your seat. That's if you're brand new with us and you would love to connect with the church, man, just scan that with your phone. Let us know you were here today, and we'd love the opportunity to get to know you better. And also, there's something very exciting happening next week. We are launching a Thursday night service on Thursday. And the reason I want to talk about that for just a minute, what did I say? Did I say this? What did I say? Let me start over, because I don't even know what I said. Thursday, the next one, we are going to have our first Thursday night service ever. How did that come out all right? All right, there we go. That's what I thought I said. Anyway, Easter jitters, I guess. But anyway, I want to invite you to that because we've never done a Thursday night service here before, and we're doing something brand new, and it's going to be our first service of the weekend. And I know that there's a lot of people that would love that option, and I think some great things are going to happen with that. So I just want that to be on your radar. That is starting on Thursday. Now, as we get into this today, let me just, I want you to imagine something with me. I want you to imagine something. You wake up tomorrow, and you grab your phone, and before you even get out of bed, you see a notification that doesn't make any sense at all. And I know that's never happened to any of us. We don't wake up and check our phones first thing in the morning. I know none of us do that. But let's just say hypothetically you did, and you're still kind of groggy from your sleep, and you see this notification. It's a text message, and what's strange about it is it's from someone but you know, but the problem is the person who just texted you has already died. Can you imagine what that would be like? And when I say they died, I don't mean, hey, we lost touch years ago, like they died, or they moved away years ago, haven't talked to them, it's like they're not alive anymore. No, I mean, you went to the funeral, you stood at the graveside, and you watched them lower the casket into the ground, and now your phone is saying, hey, it's me from the friend who died. I would say if that happened, you have a decision to make. Would you agree with that? I got to make a decision. Because I don't think you're going to ignore it, and I don't think you're going to roll over and go back to sleep like this is no big deal. You get a text like that, you have a decision, and that decision is, I need to investigate this. Why would we investigate it? Because if it's real, it changes everything. If this is real, it changes everything. Now, what I'm describing to you is what I would call the tension of Easter. The tension of Easter. What is the tension of Easter? Well, the tension of Easter is this. We are faced with the claim that a man who died named Jesus is alive today, and each of us has to decide what we're going to do with that. Because if it's real that Jesus actually rose from the dead like we are all celebrating today, then wouldn't you agree that changes everything? If Jesus is alive today, doesn't that change everything? Now, it is Easter, and I know some of you may be here today, and you're like, I don't know what I think about all that. I haven't made up my mind just yet, and I just want you to know that's okay. I hope you realize how thankful I am that you are here with us today. But what I want to suggest is that the resurrection of Jesus is just way too important to ignore. Because if you really did get a text message like the one I'm describing to you from someone who died, I know you wouldn't ignore that. I think that we would all lean in because we'd want to know, is this real? And what I want to show you today is why the resurrection of Jesus is that kind of moment. And to do that, I want to answer three questions for everybody, and I'm going to try to move through these as quickly as possible. The first question that I think everybody has to wrestle with is this one, and it's basic. Could this actually be true? That's a very important question, because this is an important claim. Could it actually be true? And that would lead to the second question, which would be, if it is true, then what does that mean for me? Because there are some strong implications for us personally. And then the third question would be, well, if it's true, what does it mean to me? I think I'm faced with this. What am I going to do with that? These are three important questions. So let's start with the evidence. Let's start with what the scripture says. Matthew, one of Jesus' own disciples, he recorded the events that happened that we're celebrating today. And I just want you to know that what we're going to read together is not like a legend that developed centuries later. No, this is the accumulation of eyewitness testimony. We're going to read from Matthew 28, verse 1. It's going to be on the screen behind me. It says this: after the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. These are two of Jesus' followers. They're both named Mary. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay." So that's what we're talking about today. This is the thing. Is this actually true? And that comes to that very first question. This is a mighty claim that Jesus is alive. He was dead, but he's alive now. So could this actually be true? Something we all have to wrestle with in our lifetime. And I think it's important to start with that question before we talk about anything about what it means or how that might actually change our lives. We must first deal with what actually happened. Well, here's what the Bible claims. The Bible tells us all about Jesus's life, his ministry, and his mission. The Bible gives us all kinds of details specifically around his death and his resurrection. I mean, it tells us about his arrest the night before and the trial that he went through and about his death. He was crucified at a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. Doesn't that sound like a place where people die? The place of the skull. That's what happened, and witnesses all watched it happen and unfold. And then when Jesus died, just to make sure that he was dead, the Bible tells us that one of those Roman soldiers shoved a spear up into Jesus' side and out flowed blood and water, a sure sign that death had occurred. The Bible tells us Jesus' body was taken down off the cross. He was placed in a nearby tomb, a brand new tomb, in fact. And it wasn't a hidden tomb. It wasn't a secret tomb. All of Jesus' followers knew where it was. The religious leaders knew where it was. The Romans knew where it was because they put guards at the tomb. Everybody knew that Jesus' body had been placed there that evening, and the Bible gives us all kinds of amazing details around it. And then 3 days later, Jesus rose back from the dead, and we just read that account out of Matthew's gospel, an eyewitness of it. So that the Bible gives us amazing details about the death and resurrection of Jesus. Now, some of you might be thinking, well, that's all well and good, but that's in the Bible. And I don't know if my mind is made up about the Bible. And it's one of these journeys we all go on. Can I believe the Bible? And I want you to know, if you're thinking about that today, that's a very fair question. But can I show you something very remarkable that maybe you don't know anything about? The Bible isn't the only ancient collection of writings that talk about Jesus and the aspects of his life. There's actually a lot of sources outside the Bible. I'll give you a couple. Within one generation of Jesus' death, there was a Jewish historian by the name of Josephus. Now, Josephus had no reason to want to help Christians, okay? But what he does in his writings, he's writing about the history of that time, he confirms in his writings that there was a guy named Jesus who lived, he was crucified under Pilate, just like the Bible says, and that his followers claim that he appeared to them alive. That's a non-believing historian wrote that down. And within the next few decades of Jesus' resurrection, there was multiple Roman historians to confirm the same basic facts. This is outside the Bible. And these aren't people that necessarily believed in Jesus. Some of them actively mocked Jesus and Christianity. But they all agreed on something. They agreed that something took place. There was a man who was crucified. His tomb was empty. And his followers were transformed. And a movement exploded that changed the world. This is evidence outside the Bible. So the question really isn't, did something happen? Even atheist scholars have admitted that, no, we know Jesus lived and we know something happened. We know that these details are true. So I don't think the question is whether did something happen. I think, what is the best explanation of what actually did happen? And I would say that the best explanation for what actually happened and the evidence that points to the reality of it is the very fact that Jesus lived, he died, and he rose back to life, and it changed the world. I believe all the evidence points to that. Now, that question, could all of this actually be true? Because that's what we're wrestling. My mind's made up. If my mind wasn't made up, I don't think I'd be doing this right now. My mind's been made up for many, many years. I want to talk about what's made up in your mind. Could all this actually be true? Well, there is a ton of evidence for it being true. I can't unpack, I don't have the time to unpack it all, but I'll look at a few things. No one denies that the tomb was empty. The tomb was empty that Sunday morning. Even Jesus' enemies, the ones that wanted him to die, they couldn't dispute that the tomb was empty on that Sunday morning. In fact, they had to make up a lie to explain away what was happening on that day. And I've sat back and thought many times, if this was all phony baloney, then all they'd have to do is produce a body and they would have killed Christianity on day one. They couldn't do it. And they had to lie their way around it. That says something significant to me. We know that there was over 500 people that claimed to have seen Jesus alive and well after the resurrection. Eyewitnesses who came forward and said, I saw Jesus, and they were radically transformed. They were not the same after that. There's a before and after in their lives. I think about Jesus' disciples specifically. You take these 11 guys who were absolutely transformed after the resurrection. They were 11 scared and scattered. And I would say in the moment defeated disciples who went out and became world changers. What happened? What happened? They saw the risen Jesus and it transformed them. And they went out and they shared boldly what they saw with everyone who would listen. And these are just ordinary guys. There's multiple times. These are just ordinary, everyday guys. They're fishermen, they're tax collectors. They do normal jobs. And people in that day would say, there's just a bunch of nobodies. And these nobodies turned the whole Roman world upside down. How does that happen? Did they just decide to do it one day, or did something happen? These guys went on and they were all beaten and they were imprisoned, and the majority of them were martyred for their faith. They were put to death because they would not denounce that Jesus had actually risen from the dead. What does that tell you? Who in the world would die for something that they made up? No one does that. Nobody dies for somebody that's still in the ground. But you would be a martyr for someone that rose from the dead. And that's exactly what these men do. A risen Savior is worth dying for. And that same Jesus, I would argue, that rose from the dead, he is still speaking, he is still moving, he is still changing everything he touches. So I'm asking you to consider this. It's a very important question. What if the reason this story won't go away after 2,000 years of history is because it actually happened? What if it won't go away because it's true? And that's the tension of Easter that I think we're all wrestling with today. He died, but now he's alive. And this isn't something that people just imagine. This is something that they encountered. So I want to tell you, next week, I'm very excited about this. I want to invite you to come back because I'm starting a brand new sermon series that I'm just stoked about it. I'm just very excited. Recently, we spent a year as a church family here at New Life studying through all of Jesus' words and his life. We did a study over a year through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which tells the life story of Jesus. And that series was called His Words, and we put special emphasis on the things that Jesus said and the truthfulness and the impact that those words made. I'm here to tell you today, the resurrection of Jesus proves that his words are true. Jesus said, I'm going to suffer and die, and 3 days later be raised to life, and it happened. His words are true. The resurrection proves they are true. So next week, we're launching a new series called, are you ready? His Words Unleashed. His words unleashed. We're going to open up the book of Acts and we're going to see what happened when ordinary people who had seen the risen Savior and who were filled with the Holy Spirit were unleashed on the world and it changed everything. Within decades, this movement spread across the entire Roman Empire despite intense persecution. There was all kinds of efforts to shut down this movement. And for the last 2,000 years, this gospel message has been circling the globe. And everywhere Jesus is preached, lives are changing. So next week, I'm gonna invite you to come back because I believe this is gonna be a life-changing series and I want you to be a part of it. His words unleashed. So the question, could this actually be true? Well, I believe that the evidence and the outcomes sure point to the reality of it. Which leads to the next question. This is the other one we got to wrestle with, is this: if it's true, what does that mean for me? If it's true, what does that mean for me? And maybe just something, maybe you came here today and you're like, you know, I've been thinking about some of these things. I'm actually here because I'm investigating myself, or something you said, Joe, it makes me want to look into this more, but maybe under the undercurrent would be this. But so what? I mean, if Jesus really is alive today, why should that matter to me? And that's a very big question. And honestly, I could be up here for hours unpacking it, but here's what I want you to see. I want you to see that the resurrection, what does it mean to me? The resurrection touches every dimension of your life. Everything behind you, everything that's out in front of you, and everything that you're living right now, okay? Let me show you how, okay? Let me show you how. What does the resurrection mean for me? And I could spend hours about each one of these, but very generally, it means this, that your past doesn't have the final word. That's what it means. Your past doesn't have the final words. We have a saying here at New Life, and it goes like this: God cares more about where you're going than where you've been. And man, I believe that so far deep in my core. I see that truth all over the pages of the Bible. God cares about the decisions you make and where your life is headed. He cares far more about that than any of your choices in the past. And some of you might even be here today and you're like, I'm carrying stuff. You don't verbalize it. You internalize a lot of it. It might be some guilt, some regret. Maybe there's a couple of you here that's saying, I can't even believe I'm in church right now. If these people knew who was sitting next to them, if they knew the life I've lived, they wouldn't want me here. I'm telling you something. If you have that thought right now, I want you to know that is not true. We want you here, and we are so glad you're here. You are absolutely in the right place, and I don't believe that it's a mistake that you are here. I want you to know, what does the resurrection mean to me? It means that forgiveness is real. That's what it means. Jesus didn't die on the cross just to make some grand point. He died to deal with our sin. And the things that you've done, the ways that we've all hurt people, Jesus died and rose to life to prove that he can forgive sins. I want to share a couple verses with you. Romans 4:25, you don't need to turn there, but it says this: he, speaking of Jesus, was delivered over to death for our sins. That's what the scripture says. So he went to the cross, he died there for a very specific purpose, for our sins. And he was also raised to life for a very specific purpose. He was raised to life for our justification. Now that's a big fancy church word. All justification means is this: right with God, made right with God. That's all it means. So this verse is saying Jesus went to the cross and died there for the forgiveness of our sins, and he was raised alive so that we could be in a good standing or made right with the Lord. So when I say, what does this mean to me? It means everything. It means my sins can be forgiven. The very thing that will keep me out of heaven, the very thing that keeps me not in a good walk with the Lord, Jesus took care of that. Paul says it like this. He explains that we were dead in our sins. That's the existence that we have without Jesus. But when Jesus went to the cross, he forgave those sins. And the scripture speaks of like canceling a debt. And it says in Colossians 2:13-14, he has taken it all away, nailing it to the cross. That's what the scripture says. Isn't that special? He took it all away and he nailed it to the cross. What does this mean to me? It means this: the tomb is empty. It means the payment was accepted and the guilt doesn't have to stay at full. I don't care what you've done or how far you think you are from God right now. If Jesus can conquer death, he can handle your past, and that's what it means. It means that it's an amazing thing. Sins can be forgiven. So your past doesn't get the final word. Here's the other part. that your present now has purpose. What does it mean for you? Your present has purpose. I don't know if you've ever felt this way before. A lot of people do. They wake up every day, it's like, I don't know why I'm here. What's this life all about? This is, you know, I get up, I go to work, I make some money, I pay the bills, I come home and I do rinse and repeat. What is there really in this world? Here's what the resurrection says, that your life is not random. That if Jesus is alive, it means that you are not an accident. You were made by him and for him. And the Bible specifically says in Ephesians 2 that we are his workmanship. We are his handiwork. He's been involved in the creation of all of us, and he knows us more than we know ourselves, and we were created for a purpose. So your sin doesn't have the final word. Your past doesn't. Your present has a real purpose. And thirdly, your future is secure. What's the resurrection mean? It means the future is secure. Jesus said in John 14, 19, death isn't the end. Because I live, you also will live. Isn't that wonderful news? What does the resurrection mean? It means now that the end of my life doesn't end with a period. It ends with a comma. Because it's just a doorway. It's just the next thing that we move on to. That's what it means to me. And this really comes back. That's the tension of Easter. He died, but now he's alive. And if that's true, it's not just information. It's personal, which brings me to the third question that none of us can ignore. And it says, what am I going to do with all of this? That's a very important question. If it's true, if Jesus is really alive, then this has got to be more than just information. And I would agree with that. If Jesus came out of that tomb alive, this is more than information. This is actually about an invitation. This is an invitation to every man and woman, boy and girl, young and old, ever lived. This is an invitation to everyone. So if this is an invitation, how do we respond to that? Well, three responses, really. You could say, nah, just push it aside and do nothing with it. You could say, well, that's interesting. I'm going to wait and see what comes of this. Or you could say, yes. Those are those three responses. Maybe the simplest way to explain these three options, these three responses, is to kind of go back to where we started again. Let me throw this picture back up there. Let's go back to that moment where you received that text message, okay? You grab your phone. There it is, a message from somebody who died, and now you think about it, and in this moment, put yourself in that situation. You're getting a message from somebody that you know had died. You watch them go down in the ground. You know they're dead. Now, you can take that information, and you can just set it aside. You can look at it. You can shake your head and say, I'm dealing with that later. That is one response. But deep down inside, if this was a real life scenario, you know that we wouldn't do that, because something inside of you in this moment would say this: this text message is too important to ignore. I can't just ignore this. So you can set it aside, or you can just wait. You can say, I'm gonna deal with that later. I don't have time for this right now. I need my beauty sleep. And you can put your phone down, you can roll over, and you can go back to sleep. But I'm gonna tell you something, that text message isn't going away. That text message is still gonna be there, and you're still gonna have to deal with it at some point. You know you wouldn't be able to shake it off, because there are some things in life that are too big to just keep putting off. So you know it's gonna be there whether you ignore it or not, or just say, I'll wait on it. Or the third response, and I think this is the most likely one in this scenario, I think if we got that text message, we would lean in. I think we'd sit up in the middle of our bed, and I think we'd start asking these kind of questions. Is this real? How is this possible? What do I do with this right now? And if there's even a chance that it's true, we would respond immediately if there's a chance that it's true. But that's just a hypothetical. Let me deal with something more real with more evidence. Because when it comes to Jesus and the tension of Easter, he was dead and now he is alive. There is more evidence for that than you'll ever know. It's stronger. The evidence for the resurrection is so strong. The implications are bigger than anything on this earth. But this is where we hesitate for some reason today, people. Why? Why do we hesitate to respond to Jesus? I would say it's because text messages don't require anything from me. That's just information. But Jesus, He's not just offering facts to consider. He's offering relationship, and that relationship requires something more of us. Following Jesus is more than just agreeing that he existed. Following Jesus more than just intellectually believing that he rose from the dead. It means that we trust him to place our whole life into his hands. We're like, Lord, you are now going to be the leader of my life. It means, Jesus, I can't save myself. I need you, and I'm willing to follow you even when it's hard. Even that means changing directions. It means even if it costs me something. And I think that's why a lot of people say, nah, I'm not going to respond to this. Because it's not just information. It requires surrender. Surrender. But this is how people respond to Jesus. And that's the tension of Easter. Here's what I want you to hear today. That if it is true, and this is what I want you to wrestle with. If it is true and Jesus is alive, then it's too important to ignore. And it's too urgent to postpone. He died, but he's alive now. And at some point, we have to decide, what are we going to do with that? So here's where I want to land today. If you came here today, maybe it was out of tradition. Maybe somebody invited you. Maybe you're just curious. But now you've heard this claim. Jesus died, and he rose. The tomb was empty. And if that's true, it changes everything. So I want to leave you with this challenge. What are you going to do with that? What are you going to do? You can't set it aside. And I don't think you can wait. I think you gotta lean in and you gotta make some decisions about this claim. And here's what leaning in looks like. It looks like this. It simply begins. Leaning in simply starts right here. Jesus, I believe you're alive. This is your first, this is what it looks like to lean in. Jesus, I believe you're alive. I believe that you died for me. And I'm ready to trust you with my life. That's what leaning in looks like. It's not, hey, I need to get all my stuff together first. Hey, it's not that. It's you're being honest. I need a savior in my life. And you know what? Maybe today, this is your day. This is your moment when everything changes. So before we leave, I do want to give you a chance to respond. Just a moment, I'm going to pray and we're going to sing another song. And if you're ready to say yes to Jesus, like, and I think some of you are ready there. I'm ready to lean in. I'm ready to utter the words. I believe that Jesus lived, died, and rose again. If you're ready to trust him with your past, your present, and your future, and I'm going to ask you to make that known. After we're done here today, if that's your decision, we're going to sing the song, and then people are going to start walking out of here. And if that's heavy on your heart, I'm going to have some of our pastors up here at the front. And I'd love for you to just kind of circle up here and say, I made that decision. I'm ready to lean in. And they're ready to celebrate that with you. They just want to celebrate it with you. They want to congratulate you. This is an awesome, awesome moment in your life. So if that's you and you're ready to lean in, I'd love for you to take that step of faith and do that very thing. Can I pray for you? Lord, just thank you we could be here today on this Easter. I thank you, Lord, that we could celebrate you. And I just know, Lord, that you're moving mightily in our hearts because you are alive and well today. And I just pray, Lord, you're moving mightily right now. Oh, Lord, I pray for anyone who's making considerations about leaning in. Lord, I pray you tug on hearts strongly that this is just way too important to ignore any longer. Oh, Lord, I pray for that. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.